Am I the one asking questions? Seriously?
Yeah, you're.
Why would this not be mentioned earlier than like 5 minutes
ready?
After we started?
Because then you would have not shown up, obviously.
I know, I would have been so prepared, and now I'm not. First, you should tell us who you are.
I am Steve Teixeira, and I am the general manager for the Partner App Experience team in Windows.
Tell us more about your team.
Well, what my team does is my team is responsible for the whole software ecosystem. Everybody that builds software that runs on top of Windows, they usually work through our team. Our team is kind of divided into a couple pieces.
This is like facing your back.
It's my back. It's divided into a couple pieces. There's a part of the team that works directly hand in hand with key partners. And what they do is they think of themselves kind of like product managers by proxy for these partners. So we're not here to like do deals or anything like that. We're here to go to a partner and say, hey, you know, it'd be awesome if your product did this with Windows. Then that would make your product great, and that would be good for Windows as well. So we feel like that's a win-win outcome. So we have a part of the team that does that. We have a part of the team represented by some of the gentlemen in the room that works directly hands-on deep with our partners, both depth partners that are like big companies that we work with, as well as breadth partners, which are just individual developers around the world that want to do stuff on Windows. And then we have a part of the team represented by the lady in the room that's really about optimizing partner success on Windows. So when we've figured out what people should build and given them our recommendation, and then we like go deep with them and help them do it, and then once they get it into a state that it's ready to ship, then we help them figure out, was it successful? Was that a good thing for us to do or a bad thing for us to do? And then wash, rinse, repeat.
What is the biggest challenge that your team is facing?
Great question.
What's that?
I love this question.
That was a great question.
The biggest challenge that the team is facing.
Or the biggest opportunity.
They're the same thing. You're not going to trick me with your, like, just wording the same question in two different ways.
I think I might.
No. So the biggest challenge that that we face, I think, is we have this, like, long, I don't know, 25, 30-year-old history of a product of Windows, and we have this ecosystem of partners that have come along with us over the years on that journey. And over that time, everybody's gotten used to doing things in a certain way. Like, hey, this is the way we build software, this is the way we do Windows development, this is the way we call these APIs, this is the way we sell stuff to partners, this is the way we work together. And primarily driven by mobile and cloud, software and the way we build and sell and experience software has changed quite a bit. So helping both ourselves and our partner ecosystem kind of modernize and move from sort of how things have been working for 25, 30 years to how things are gonna work in the future, that's a real challenge because it hits people at different times. For some partners, it's like, oh my gosh, it's right in front of them. And if they don't change, like, it's bad for their business.
Right.
And some partners, maybe they're 5 years away from that, so they don't think about it so much. So it's our job to kind of help them understand, like, hey, in 5 years, like, you're gonna wanna do this. So that's a challenge.
So with respect to the Windows ecosystem in particular, you talked about how we've done things a specific way and mm-hmm. for the last 25 years, and it's kind of morphed and evolved a little bit, but it hasn't fully pivoted.
Yeah.
How can we help our partners? I mean, more specifically, how can we help our partners do that?
Yeah,
I mean, because their systems are built up for that, right? Like, from both a from a mental standpoint, from a strategy standpoint, from the skills that the developers have, they have that in place.
Yeah. I think a big part of it is making sure we lead with the value that it creates for our partners. Because too often, and you see this across different platform vendors, but too often the platform vendor says, okay, we've made this decision. Like, the new programming language that we support is like, J. And so everybody has to now use J, or the new framework we support is JBAR. So now everybody has to use the JBAR framework. And oftentimes those aren't founded in value creation for partners. Oftentimes they're sort of internal goals that those platform vendors might have. And so they're affecting those internal goals through the ecosystem. And I think for us, our big challenge, and one of the things that I think our team does really well internally is helping internal people in Windows understand, like, hey, by the way, as you're designing this component of Windows, keep in mind that this is how the partner ecosystem would think about, this is how a software developer in our ecosystem would think about that thing. And so you should have that in mind. You know, A, you should have that in mind when you're designing it, and B, you should set some goals for yourself about your success or failure that are relative to the developer ecosystem. Like, not just did people use it, but like, did they like it? Were they successful using it? Did it help them accomplish their business goals? Was it valuable to them? Exactly. And so by kind of leading with value creation, it just gets a lot of the like stuff out of the way where nobody wants to feel like a platform vendor is kind of pushing them or nudging them to do something. Everybody wants their platform vendor to say, hey, here's some stuff. It's optional to consume. You can keep doing things however mm-hmm. you've done them. But by the way, if you consume it, like, here are the ways we think that that's great for your business and great for the products.
So can you list some of the examples of that?
Oh, man, you're precision Q&A-ing me now. This is so hard.
I thought you didn't prepare for this.
More general. This is going on in my head all the time.
Oh, okay.
I'm just being less wise.
Let's get it out now. Let's do it.
It's so hard. Okay, let's see. So, yes. Let me give you an example.
You're doing great.
So an example might be like the desktop bridge.
Oh, I like this.
Where one point of view of the desktop bridge is like Microsoft is making you go run your app through this desktop app converter centennial thing and convert all your Win32 apps to this new format so that it can be deployed via the store. So the wrong way to approach that, like, let's take the absolute wrong end of the spectrum, which we're not doing, just to be clear to everybody.
Sure.
We no longer support Win32. If you want your app to run on Windows, you have to go through this process to go wrap it with this technology because we think this technology is better and safer and blah. Like, that would be totally the wrong way to do that.
Sounds pretty offensive.
Yeah. And so now if you dial back and say, what is a value creation sort of way, which I think we tried to do, is, hey, if you're building a Win32 app, awesome. Thank you for being in our ecosystem. Keep doing that if that's what works for you. But by the way, if you also want to go and use the desktop app converter to do modern packaging for your Win32 app, it allows you to show up in the store. It allows you to show up in private stores for business. It actually increases the reliability of your app because it's able to run in more of a security envelope than it does otherwise. You're able to use now new UWP APIs as part of your implementation. So you get all these things that are like things you couldn't otherwise get. And some partners have looked at that and said, oh, yeah, that's a great trade. I have to do this work and I get this value in exchange for this work. That's great. Some partners say, well, I'm not ready. The value exchange isn't quite
there
for me yet. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
But we'll keep adding stuff, adding new value so that eventually they'll go, yeah, okay, like this works for me now. I'm ready to go do it.
I love talking about engineering stuff.
Yeah.
It's what I would choose to talk about for the remainder of our time.
But it would
be remiss of me to not talk about, you've talked about different ways that Microsoft has helped grow technology and help our developers with technology and kind of, you know, shift our perspective and make it really value add.
Yeah.
What about on the business side of things? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, the business side. So I would start like in the beginning, like when the earth was cooling and
That's when Windows started.
Yeah. There wasn't really a, like, I don't know, there was an ecosystem, but it was like sort of a every person for themselves sort of ecosystem.
Wild
like it was wild and good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Everybody could come in, do whatever they want. And by the way, Windows decided not to have an application model. So every app you want to put on the system, like you want to be installed as administrator, awesome. You want some device drivers? Sure, go crazy.
Lots of
flexibility. You want to load up with services? Like start a bunch at startup, no big deal. You want to put toolbars all over my web browser? Yes, of course you should do that. Like that was
so great extensibility as well.
Great extensibility.
that's a half
full way of,
sure.
of talking about that.
Sure.
And so that was one of the things that we tried to address with, you know, modernizing the platform, UWP is like, hey, there probably should be an app model. Like there probably should be a set of things that applications on the system should do, and there probably should be a set of things that aren't really application behaviors, they're system behaviors, and they need to be protected. One of the things we found over time is that when you talk about business challenges, like one of the business challenges we have in Windows is the consequence of not having an application model is you have application writers, both good actors, like mostly good actors, 99.99% good actors in the ecosystem. You've got bad apples that are writing malware and stuff out there. But even good actors, because there's no app model, like they could throw on DLLs, they could put stuff in System 32, like they could do whatever.
And I think that's a very natural developer thing, right?
It is.
I can do this. I should do this. Yes. Like, look what I did. Yes. And it's awesome until it's aggregated.
That's
across.
Right. Yeah, that's like, it's fine when you do it, and it's fine when I do it.
Right.
But then when Nicola does it and Shen does it, it's actually a problem.
Right.
Yeah, so.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I just try to break things.
So,
Malware.
So that becomes a problem for us because then the customer experience is that, gosh, my Windows machine, after a couple years, it seems to get a little slower. And gosh, that app that I used to find reliable, like, it doesn't seem quite as reliable as it used to be. And this, like, thing that has this driver, like, it keeps, my screen keeps turning blue and having, like, words go across the screen. I don't know what that is, but that seems very perplexing and a little bit unsettling. And that has become a business challenge for us. And one of the reasons why we want to help the ecosystem move to a place that where our mutual customers can feel good about the fact that, like, hey, the software that I install on my machine, it's never going to slow my machine down. It's never going to make my machine less viable, reliable, and it's the attack surface area for malware is just much more constrained than it otherwise would be. Like, that's. That kind of gets to both a goal that we have internally, but also a value prop that we want to extend to both customers and partners is, like, apps should be safe. Like, that's
kind
of
important.
You should
be able to rely on the fundamentals.
Yeah.
It should be fast. It should not crash.
There you go.
And it should be secure.
And my mom is not a sophisticated computer user, and my mom should be able to, like, turn her computer on 3 years after she got it, and it should be, like, just as fast, just as reliable, just as safe on, you know, day whatever 900 of usage as it was on day zero of usage. Like, so that's a big part of what we've been trying to drive is to kind of make that a reality. And then from the sort of developer standpoint, we've faced this challenge of, yeah, we have this ecosystem that has very established practices for how software is developed and sold. We, at the time of phone and Windows 8, we built this App Store thing, and Xbox had one as well and has one. And so we found, like, well, it seems like this App Store thing seems like a thing that people like. One is it gives them a handy catalog and a place to get stuff. But two is it gives a platform vendor like us a place where we can have a known good place to point customers to and say, if you want the thing that's not going to mess up your machine and deploy malware, you should go to this place and you should get it from there.
So you want to download the thing that you actually want and not the thing that you want and five other things that you didn't know you were downloading?
Yeah.
That
yeah,
thing?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think that part is virtuous. When we designed this App Store thing, I think we did the natural thing, which is to be like, what are other people doing? Like, copy from others' homework and say, oh, okay, well, other people are doing app stores in this way, it seems, and the financial terms of their app stores are
look
like this.
They seem smart.
And
we like to be smart.
Yeah, they seem like smart people.
Seems to be working.
They're nice.
Yeah.
When I talk to them, they're friendly.
Yeah.
And so what we landed on is similar terms. For example, a 30% revenue share for when I'm a developer, I put my app in the store, and that app gets sold, 30% of that revenue goes to the platform vendor for offering the value of the store, and 70% goes back to the developer to, you know, do other cool things. And that model works pretty good for some scenarios. That model doesn't work for PC that we've come to learn. Again, PC has this old established way of working, and in the PC, people are like, well, you know, I just build an Xe or I build an MSI and I, like, put it on the web and people download it and they run it and, like, that's it then.
This is literally how they've done it.
Yeah. Yeah. Since the Earth was cooling.
Since the Earth was cooling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but it does have these attributes of, like, well, when my mom goes there, like, she doesn't know that MSI is, like, well written. She doesn't know that it's secure. She doesn't know that when she's, you know, maybe trying to go get a copy of some software that she wants, that it's not some malware person has packaged their software they want, but actually attached another payload that's really bad. So we still have the property of like that old ecosystem and the way of deploying is bad. But on the other hand, when a developer says, well, okay, I want to opt into the new way of deployment, then they have to change business models and say, well, wow, I've got like a business model that calls for a certain, like I'm expecting certain margins when I sell, and I'm expecting to pay for certain things and not pay for other things. And you're presenting me with this kind of phone-centric model that in the PC, like, I don't have this friction of getting to my customer. So basically, what are you giving me in exchange for the 30% that I'm giving you? That was a bunch of feedback that we got from developers. And that gets to the crux of the change that we announced at Build, which is, well, like let's change the terms so that it's more valuable to you, where it actually makes more sense for you to deploy via this modern mechanism. It actually maybe even is cheaper for you to deploy using this modern mechanism. And then you, developer, win, and you, Windows end customer, win, because you know you can continue having a great business. You can continue, or you can start having a one place where you can get software and feel really good about all the software you're putting on your machine, and yeah, everyone's a winner. So I'll just kind of write it up. I think the change is pretty simple in model. So let's talk about the what. The what is we're going to go from 30% off the top revenue share to 5%. And if you think about it, that includes like credit card processing or payment instrument processing. It's not always credit card. And it includes, you know, we're doing the hosting, we're doing the
distribution.
We're paying distribution, we're paying the CDN bill, we're doing the entitlement. So there's a lot that arguably you get for a pretty small revenue share. For most companies, that's difficult. Like that's a competitive price compared to other things that they could be doing. And then there's another thing that developers, sort of modern developers, have come to expect as a service, which is called customer acquisition. And that is, well, when you, through some marketing endeavor, bring me a customer, I can pay you for that lead. I can pay you for the fact that you brought me a customer. And that's a motion that software companies are used to making. And so what we've done is said, in the case where Microsoft acquires that customer for you through a campaign that we've run or from a spotlight in our store, something proactive that we've done to go win that customer on behalf of our partner, then it's another 10%. So a total, this is a total of 5% and this is a total of 15% revenue share. And that's kind of the basics of the what, is just to change the equation for developers such that it makes more sense for them to go do business through the store because it's more valuable. And we kind of get the revenue thing out of the way, which represented a lot of friction for PC. And I should mention, like, we limited this to apps on the PC because other ecosystems have different financial dynamics. So, for example, this is not like HoloLenses and Xboxes, and it's not the gaming ecosystem because those are different. But for apps on PC, this is the model. And again, the why, we talked about it, it's pretty simple. Devs get value. Like, we want the store to be the best place for devs to distribute their Windows apps, and customers get value. We want customers to have one known good place where they can get software, put it on their machine, and know that that software is trusted and it's not going to do anything bad to their machine.
So to sum it up, you're saying that by default, 5% rev share, and only when Microsoft can prove that we've added value is when the extra 10% comes into play.
That's right.
How do I opt into this? If I'm a developer, obviously more money is better than less money.
That's right.
95% is better than 70%.
Yes.
How do I get this deal?
Yeah, this is like the IQ test business model. Would you like more or less money? Check.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
So this will become the new default. So you won't have to do anything as a developer if you have your app in the store. Once this rolls out, which right now is tentatively slated for later this calendar year, but once this rolls out, it will just automatically flip over to this new model. So if you have a If you're in the store today with 30%, 70% terms, you'll just automatically roll into this thing, which will be 5 or 15%, depending on how the customer got to you and made that purchase. And then if you're not in the store yet, when you first come in and you come in through the front door and do the click through EULAs and all that, like this is just the new default model that you'll have, assuming you're doing a PC app.
How long do you think this will last?
This is the new model. Like this is what we're doing. This isn't like a limited time offer, waiver prohibited act now. This isn't that. This is our new model for PC software that we think is the right model going forward for everyone.
Right. And I mean, in some sense, like if you're already on this model, you could see that as 15% coming back to you to either reinvest in your application to build a better experience.
That's
for,
right.
For the end user, because essentially Microsoft is now working to get your app to its users, because that's how we benefit more from a company, but also they benefit as a developer and the consumer benefits too.
Exactly.
Because they get the right level of app with the right experience.
And we're willing to put our money where our mouth is and say, we think we can help you get more customers, and we're willing to say, you don't have to pay us if we don't. If everyone that downloads your app is a referral from your own website, great, then you don't have to pay us this customer acquisition charge. But what we hope and what we've experimented with a number of partners is hey, why don't you just use the Windows Store as the only place where customers on Windows 10 can get your app? You don't have to maintain any infrastructure. You don't have to have any update thing in your software. We can just do all that for you. Customers that have taken this path have found is the store is as good or better than the thing I'm doing myself. So there's no reason for me to not do it. The financial terms make sense, so there's no reason for me to not do it. And so our hope is that more and more people just say, oh, Microsoft, you should, this is like writing my own compiler. Why would I do this? I would definitely just use the work that somebody else did to build this infrastructure, because, whatever, I'm trying to write photo management software. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spend my time on an update pipeline and all that. I don't want to spend a dev on that to do that. I want my devs writing photo management software, and the more that basic plumbing and infrastructure can just be done for me, the better off I am.
So what's the call to action for developers now, just to close it off?
Yeah, the call to action for developers is right now, just be aware. We're going to roll this out.
Sounds like a warning.
I didn't say beware. I said
be excited?
Be aware. Yeah. Be excited. Employ jazz hands. When this rolls out, again, there's nothing specifically that a developer has to do, but there are some choices that a developer gets to make about how much of my distribution do I now want to do via the store versus how much do I want to do on my website? Do I want to consolidate my channels? Do I want to make this one of many channels that I'm using? So there's sort of some thought process about how to use this. From a business standpoint, there's no decision to make. It's just you automatically get the new good thing. And then from a deployment standpoint, it's okay, how does this work for me and for how I want to deploy and how I want to reach my customers?
I like all the toys that you have in here. Check this out. We could do just a shot on each one of these.
I have these mustaches that are different, but it turns out it's mostly me. Actually, the best toy I keep to myself is this one. Try that one.